Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Well, good morning. The fourth Sunday in Advent. Four candles lit. The waiting is almost over. Do you feel the anticipation? I know you do because I've been hearing it. The anticipation. We have experienced something of the waiting that the people of Israel waited. Theirs was a lot longer wait, of course. But I'm struck by the fact that there is a sense in which what God had planned and organized is coming to fruition. Now, whether it just be because it's this Christmas, or whether it's because it is eternal, and in the scheme of our God, this could well be the year, could it not? When Jesus returns. This could be the moment, and we have to be ready for that, when it all comes right. I've been mulling over this, it's had a talk about a Christmas present. Well, I've been mulling this over for several weeks, and over those several weeks, I heard John Bossell speak about Christmas presents. I've heard Simon talk about Christmas presents, and I'm thinking, Lord, am I going to change all this or what? And he keeps saying to me, no, this needs to be said, so I'm saying it. I'm encouraged in a way, because the Spirit is, I think, trying to get through to us, and it's always a good thing when the Spirit tries to get through to us. It's always a good thing where we can actually learn to listen. See, at last we can almost forget about having to buy things for people. All those presents. Are you organized? Have you bought them all? Wrapped them all? Is there any that haven't? Well done. Neither have I, Donna, neither have I. I keep saying to Sue, "What do you want?" "I don't want anything." Really helpful, isn't it? "Don't want anything." I said, "Okay. Well, you've got me, love. That's all you want, really." You would. But there you are. All that mad scurrying about in shops in frantic search for a present for that difficult cousin or aunt. It's all over for another year if you've done it. We can now relax, concentrate on the more important part of Christmas, seeing what other people have bought us. But no, there is still concern in our hearts. Because when we have that present and we give it to someone, will they actually like what we've purchased for them? I'm not sure that I'm alone in wondering how we actually got into this in the first place. We've experienced this morning giving worship to Almighty God for the gift of Jesus. We think we fully appreciate that present, that gift to us. And yet so much of this time of the year seems to be dominated with our Christmas preparation, with other people's Christmas preparation. The commercialization of this festive season sort of hurts, doesn't it? Seems to have taken over. And in seeing that, we almost instinctively realize that somewhere it's all gone wrong. Somewhere people have got the whole point twisted. I used to work with a chap who had it all sewn up actually at Christmas. He simply went along to Boots a week before Christmas Day and he purchased a few dozen gift vouchers. And he wrote a simple all-purpose message in them. And then he waited. And as people brought him a present, he whipped out a voucher and said, "Happy Christmas to you too." He never disappointed anyone. They were always reciprocal, as it were. He said he never offended anyone because if they hadn't bought him one, well, why should he buy them one? You know? But there was something missing in that, wasn't there? Something missing in that present strategy. And what was missing was love, of course. Because love is the key to what all this present giving and receiving is all about. At the base of it is love, the love of God for you and for me. The love that we show to those who we love, our friends, our neighbours, our families. What we are trying and rather miserably failing, I have to say, to do is to emulate Almighty God in saying that, well, I've given you a gift as a sign of my enduring and all-purpose, all-encompassing love for you. And what we're celebrating today is God's supreme act of love, not only towards us personally, for God so loved the world. Now, that we might sort of think about and think, well, what do you mean? He likes the globe or he loves the world or all the people that are in the world? Actually, when we read Scripture, we realize that God loved the whole of his creation. Yeah, sea, earth, all the beauty that we can appreciate. Boy, there's a whole lot more that we've never seen. And God appreciates because he made it, he created it. And for each one of you this morning, a handmade creation by God. I don't know whether you've seen that program on television about the Yorkshire farm with the 10 kids running around and mum and dad sort of struggling against the elements and everything else. But what they've instilled in their children is simplicity of love for one another. And this week was Christmas at that farm, and I was really struck by the fact that the children had made all their presents. For mum, for dad, for all the other kids, they'd made presents. Whether it be a sort of boot thing which helped somebody lift their boots off, or a handmade gun, I noticed one of them had got. But they'd actually put some love into that creation. You know, that's what God does with us, isn't it? Puts love into our creation. And then instills in us that ability to love others. There is a sense in which we are emulating our God when we say to someone, "I love you," when we give them a present. God gave us his own precious Son, stripped of all his glory, all his magnificence, and sent into a dark and a dangerous world, completely naked, totally helpless. Now, none of us, I suspect, would dare to do that to our own children, if you have any. And yet doing it to his own son, God was demonstrating his higher love for you and I. That's mind-blowing in itself. His total commitment to this world and to the salvation of his creation. The giving and receiving of presents is meant to reflect God's own demonstration of love and affection towards us. So how are we doing on that score? When we strive to get that perfect present for those whom we love, when we go out to extreme lengths to try and ensure that the present matches the personality and the preferences of the recipient, we're saying we care about them. We want them to actually appreciate our efforts on their behalf. We love to hear those words that are so often said, but so often not really meant. That's just what I've always wanted. You know, when God gives his son to you, are you able with fullness of heart to say, that's just what I've always wanted? Because whether you know it or not, that is actually what you've always wanted. You've always needed to be accepted by Almighty God. You've always needed to be wanted by the one who made you. God planted that need within you. And so when you are able to say to God, oh Lord, that is just what I've always wanted. It may be with revelation. Suddenly, oh, I didn't realize it before, but yes, actually, that is what I've always wanted. See, God knew what we needed. He knew we'd only be perfectly happy and fulfilled when we were totally reconciled to him. The only way that was going to be achieved was by sacrificing his only son for us. This morning's reading gives us a glimpse into the heart of God and his intention towards us, where he declared that he was going to come into our world through the medium of a humble, lowly girl called Mary. Jesus was to be her present, which she in turn was to give to the world. Now, this is a present that's more personal and intimate than any other present we might receive or give this Christmas time. See, the most difficult presents to buy are those for people who seem to have everything, those who seem to have got everything materially, who seem to want for nothing. We've got relations like that. Every year we rack our brains trying to fulfill some impossible dream. Well, they're bound to have that because they've got everything. I think we actually worry too much because I think that what they want most from us is our love and our concern for their well-being. When money and material things are in abundance, they lose the attraction for us. But love and care and concern can never be found in enough abundance. Words and small gestures speak far more. Sorry. Sorry, thank you very much. They speak far more of our costly love for them. Mary's response to the angel's message tells us that God chose wisely. Of course he did. He'd made Mary. He knew her heart. He knew what she was able to respond to. She was able to see past all the difficulties, all the embarrassment, all the shame, and instead she saw Almighty God calling her to service. It's not the kind of service that you and I would perhaps welcome and relish. You ladies, if you've received a visitation from an angel who said you're going to get pregnant, doesn't matter about your age, doesn't matter about your status, doesn't matter about what other people might think, that's what's going to happen. Think about that for a second. I suspect that most of you would be appalled. The other half will be scared to death. And yet that's what happened. God came in the form of an angel and said, Mary, this is what's going to happen. What was her response? It's a wonderful response. I am the Lord's servant. Once Mary had understood in a flash, I suspect, is if she's talking to Almighty God, first of all, you don't argue. Secondly, she saw the whole realm of possibilities, for nothing is impossible with God. Easy to say, not so easy to experience, perhaps. I am the Lord's servant. It's perhaps the most important response we ever see in Scripture. The response of someone who realizes that all of this is going to be out of her control. All of this is going to be so difficult, she can't even imagine how difficult it's going to be, really. And yet God makes that call to each and every one of us. See, what's Mary being called to? She's been called to carry the Son of God. She needed some precious gift from God, which he gives to each one of us, faith. That's a gift from God, and it's a gift to you and I, which makes it possible for us to say yes to God. It makes us available to him 100%. And faith is at the base of everything that we try to be and do, say, faith says yes. It's made to each and every one of us, because each and every one of us in turn will be challenged and asked to receive that same Son of God into our hearts and into our lives. And so God is looking to us for that same response from Mary. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have desired. God's word made flesh, dwelling within each one of us, speaks far more eloquently than any earthly word or gesture, because it is spoken by the Spirit to our spirit. And it is eternal. It will not fade away or diminish with time or experience. It is eternal. God says, you are my servant. We say, yes, I am. Whatever it is, Lord, you want me to do, nothing in me, but hey, I'll have a go. Is that not the way it should be? I'll have a go. Not in my strength, not in my understanding, not in my power, not even in my position, but I'll have a go. That's all that God wants from us. Yes, Lord, I am your servant. As we give and receive presents this Christmas, let's remember that the most important part of the whole process is the love that is behind the gift. The amount of thought we've put into it, not just dash into the shops at the last minute and buying a voucher. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'll buy you a voucher, then you can get what you really want. Have we given any real thought to it? I can see a few people wriggling here rather uncomfortably. Sorry, but what's God saying to you? Take it. It's not, I mean, it's the easy way, isn't it? But it's not born always with the full power of love. We've been challenged this Advent period to shine the light of Christ into the world, to display the characteristics of the indwelling Jesus to everyone we meet. But we need him to be indwelling first of all, don't we? We need to have said, as Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, yes. Yes, I will take you, Lord, on board, whatever that may be. Whatever that may mean. A lot of people are afraid to make that step of saying yes because they see the what ifs. What if my neighbors think I'm a nutter? What if my family disowns me? What if, what if, what if? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not clever enough? What if I don't have the smart answers? And God says, so, what if? Are you willing to be my servant? Yes. If you're able to say yes, that's all that's really... Well, leave the details to me, says the Lord to each one of us this morning. Leave the details to me. I love this. You know, I get into situations and I think, well, I have no idea what's going on, but over to you. So much easier, isn't it? See, for some of us, this will have been more of a challenge than we expected. To have and to carry the indwelling Jesus into our Christmas period, into our families, into our circumstances, will be a challenge. But I hope that as a result of at least trying, we will find those same characteristics we've been thinking about will carry us forward into the new year. See, when we receive a Christmas present, the giver doesn't expect us to simply put the present on one side and ignore it. That would be most insulting, wouldn't it? We're expected to open it, to admire it, and to kind of treasure it, even if it's only for a moment, you know? Secondly, we are expected to use it. If it's a perfume or an article of clothing or jewelry, then we should wear it. If it's something to use, then we should use it. I was amused this week by a little incident in the Christmas episode of Agatha Christie's Poirot. I don't know whether you saw it. When Inspector Japp gave Poirot a particularly hideous pair of woolen knitted gloves. Now, Poirot's always immaculately dressed. And the look on his face when he's presented with these gloves was a sight to behold. But nevertheless, he thanked Japp politely for his present. And Japp said, well, aren't you going to wear them then? And you see Poirot thinking, he said, oh, I shall keep these for best and only wear them when I go to church. Poirot never goes to church. We are expected to use what we're given. And when God gives us Jesus, we're expected to use him or be used by him to work in the world. That's what we're called to do. So the third challenge for us this Christmas in receiving gifts is how we show our appreciation. We thank the giver profusely. We show our gratitude in words. With Almighty God's gift, we instinctively know that he's looking for more than words. He's looking for action. What will you do with this precious gift of Christ today? We've been reminded to share him with our friends, our neighbours, openly talk about him with those who are sent across our paths. You know, I'm certain that had you received a priceless, precious piece of jewellery this Christmas, maybe you will. Or a brand new car for Christmas. All of your neighbours and your friends would have known about it the next morning, wouldn't they? You'd have been out there driving around, showing off. This was a present. This was a gift to me. You see where the analogy's going, can't you? We've been given something that is beyond price. With far more than anything this world can give. And we've been asked not only to brag about it, but to share it, indeed to give it away to everyone that we meet. What a present to have. What a present to give. What a present to celebrate. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary was sincere in that. We know from the later story that not only was that going to break her heart, she's going to watch the death of her own son, the torment and everything else that Easter brought to her. But really, that gift, that present that she was given, came with perhaps even a higher gift, the gift of faith. If you are listening and hearing this, or been sat here wondering what all this is about, all these people who seem to be so enthusiastic, if you feel sometimes that you're sat on the outside looking in, the first gift to be given to you is the gift of faith. And that is something that you can easily ask for, and God will willingly give you. Everything else will follow. But faith is such a precious gift. We should celebrate that also this Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you come to us in humility. You come to us in surprising ways sometimes. Help us to not only recognize that, but to respond to it. Father God, I pray this morning that you would send faith to each and every one of us. And those of us whose faith has got a bit weak or a bit slow or a bit powerless, Lord, would you increase that faith? Would you extend it so that we begin to understand the truth of those words, with God, nothing is impossible. And it begins with that precious gift of faith, attached with that precious gift of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this opportunity that this season gives to us to share with our friends and our neighbors what it means to walk with you. Thank you, Father.